the committee today and the people that we have invited. Honorable members, I think there's another a communication I don't want to call it a problem, misunderstanding. We wanted to see the members of the board of this construction sector, all the members of the board. But then I think our communication went differently, and I'm told that we have the CEO and the chairperson of the board and the deputy chairperson of the board and the CFO. Is it acting CFO? Or acting finance manager. Okay. And the acting DG is here as well. So those are people that we have, and I think that I don't know if we have a problem with that, but my suggestion would be, since everybody is here and the main accounting authorities are here, you have your chairperson and the deputy, you have your CEO, you have your DG, I would plead to the committee that we should accept and just continue with the meetings, because there will be no question that will not be answered because some members of the board are here. All these people are here should be able to answer any question that the committee is posing. Okay. Thank you, members. Now, members of the board and members of the department. Honorable Nyakemba.
Thanks, sir. Good morning. My point, sir, is whilst understanding what you say, but I think it's important that the chairperson, the deputy, the CFO, and the acting financial manager should pronounce that, irrespective of other members of the board who are not here today, but however, their presence reflects the entire board of the construction sector. I'm raising this in order to avoid technical issues that may be raised in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I'm sure the concern of the of the member is accepted. I believe that you are representing, definitely you should be representing the collective of the board. And whatever you'll be speaking, it's not something that will be disputed by other members of the board who are not here.
That is correct, Honorable Chair.
Just a clarity for myself before. We have an acting CFO. Who is the acting CFO? You must understand, you know, I'm trying to know exactly what am I dealing with. The two people that you are using from the, what is that company? Deloitte and Tosh, yeah, who are assisting. And you also have a financial manager that is assisting them. Who is here? Is it a person from that company or is it the financial manager that you referred to in the document who is assisting those in terms of information?
Honourable Chair, with us today is Jonathan Mance. He is a staff member who is acting as financial manager. The two incumbents from Deloitte, who are the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, and Financial Manager, they are not present here today. So Deloitte is not here, but a staff member from the accounting department is here.
Now, you left the financial manager that you referred to the documents. I'm not talking about the two staff, the two members from that company. I'm saying, have you left? Now you decided to bring a staff member from the accounting department, from the financial department. Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Let's leave it there. I just wanted clarity, so that when we ask questions, we ask questions from people that we know. We must understand, we have informed ourselves, so we know who is who. We don't know the names, we don't know the faces. So, now I understand. The purpose of this, the objective of this meeting is for the members of the board to brief us as to what has happened, where what happened and what is the status presently? Why was your annual report? It's fine. I will give them that opportunity, and then after that we'll just go. So the objective of the meeting is just for you to tell us what happened. Of course, we do have this correspondence that you gave to various stakeholders, and the last one that you gave to me. But we need to know where are we and what's going to happen. What was the problem? So we'll take it from there before we can ask, we can engage with you. Definitely the member has asked you to introduce yourself. It's important when you introduce yourself, is the chairperson of the board and any other person who is from the department or anywhere, tell us who you are or what are you doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll start from the far right, far left, I mean to say. That is Jonathan Mance, who's the acting finance manager. We have got our deputy chair, Frank Fredericks, who has been elected now in March from the emerging contractors or employers. We've got the chairperson of the CETA, Gavin Stradom, coming from MBSA, the employer section. He has been also elected during March this year. Then we've got myself, Petros Mauku. I'm the chief executive officer of the construction CETA. Thank you, Chair.
Members, are you okay? I understand the introduction. Can we proceed? Who is the acting financial manager? I thought I asked this question, but then I was told there is somebody, there is no acting financial manager. Maybe I didn't understand you. There's an acting financial manager and there's a staff from the financial department. Is that what you're saying?
We are dealing with staff members.
Okay, who is the acting? In the documents that you sent to us, who is the acting financial manager? Did you refer to the acting financial? I just want to understand before we can go forward. Who is the acting? Because I referred to the two members from Deloitte and Touch that are helping. Also, you referred to a financial manager. Who is helping those two? Now, is the acting financial manager one of those people that you refer to, or is it a totally new different person?
Thank you, sir. We have got two resources from Deloitte.
Mm.
The one who's acting as a CFO.
Mm.
Then we have got the finance manager from Deloitte. We have got Jonathan, who is a staff member, who is with us here as acting finance manager. That is what we are saying.
So you are saying Jonathan now is acting as finance manager?
Yes.
Now you have four people. No. Let me understand. You have the gentleman. The gentleman who is here is not from that company. But it's not the person that you referred to in the documents. You have Jonathan, the staff member, who's also here. It's not somebody that you referred to. So it's not these people who are helping to turn that company around in terms of your finances. None of them is here. It's the new people.
Chairperson, let me clarify the issue of the acting finance manager, who's Jonathan Mas. The one that I referred into my document, or the document from Construction City, as I've clarified earlier on, that the two that I'm referring to is from Deloitte. They're not here. Hence, we brought Jonathan Mans, who's acting finance manager, not in that capacity like Deloitte. So the Deloitte people are not here, Chairperson.
Not here. And the person who is referred to that as the financial manager that is assisting Deloitte is also not here. Okay.
Sorry, Chair, can I clarify that?
Okay, no, that's fine. No, for me to understand who is here. I don't know if the members are you. Before you can start, I just wanted to know who is here. So I think I am clear from my side. I know who I'm dealing with. Members, is there anything that is not clear?
I'm a little bit confused, Chair. Can you assist me? What are we talking about? I heard that there are two people from Deloitte and Touch are not here. Now, who is here? That you see, the question should be very clear. Who is here from the financial side? Who is here? Is it Jonathan, acting manager, or Jonathan, a staff member? Who is here? Maybe it will make it clear, because I'm getting a little bit confused. There are two answers that are coming out of the question that we are posing, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Wallace?
No.
Comrade Wallace and Honorable
Wallace. That mistake today.
Chairperson, thank you. Chair, I think from my point of view, it was mentioned earlier that the board is here today. So whatever questions we're going to pose, they will be in a position to answer the questions. Now, from my side, I would then suggest, in view of that, let us rather proceed and so that they do the presentation. And if there's any questions that will be posed, the relevant person who is here or who will take the ownership in order to answer the question is here. And I think what is important for my side, the people are in a position to answer the questions. So I would suggest that we must continue, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Law. Honorable Nyakem.
Thanks, sir. We must avoid confusion at all times. My understanding of what has been said by the CEO, correct me if I'm wrong, is that in the written communication between the CETA and the department, you have made mention of a particular financial manager. Now today, in your delegation, you've got an acting financial manager. Now, is the financial manager who is referred to in the communication the same acting financial manager who is here or not? And then thereafter we proceed, I think. That's the issue.
Honorable Nyarakemba, I think he has said it's not. Am I misrepresenting you? Mr. CEO.
Chairperson, let me just clarify it once and for all so that we can move from that premise. In my communication, I indicated that there is Jonathan Mans, who was assisting Deloitte to ensure that we produce the annual financial statement. And that Jonathan Mans is now acting because Deloitte and Touch is on site. He's assisting Deloitte to ensure that they get every information, because we got the CFO and the finance manager from Deloitte. Hence, Jonathan is acting now, but is a staff member, to ensure that the relevant information is provided and everything. As soon as that assignment is complete, then we take it from the chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Can you just answer that question with yes and no? Because the more you clarify, you explain yourself, it confuses me. That answer needs yes and no. Is the person referred to in those documents here or not? Is that's all we need, is yes and no?
Yes, Honorable Chair.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Over to you, Chairperson of the Board. That's Mr. Plato.
Honourable Chair, we thank you and all honourable members for allowing us the opportunity to come through today to explain and bring clarity on various issues. Our CEO, Mr. Petros Maoko, will lead the discussion, and with your permission, if I can ask Mr. Maoko to continue, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Chairperson of the CETA. We have received an invitation to come and present as to why did we submit the annual report very late. We want to highlight, Chairperson, that as an organization, we are at fault. Let me start with that. In the sense that the document was submitted to Parliament very late. There are reasons that contributed to the submission of the document as required by the PFMA. In terms of our communique to Parliament or Labour portfolio, I will talk to those issues other than to read. In terms of our submission, we have got number of correspondences that we have submitted to Department of Labour,
to indicate the challenges that we had as an organization during those times. That was done on the basis that as an organization, we report to the department, therefore the department should be aware of the challenges. All those letters, Chairperson, they've been attached on the submission to the Labour Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, I must indicate that one of the reasons which contributed for this organization to submit the annual financial statement and the report, therefore, it was due to the change in the national treasury regulation that the CITAS must begin now to report on a cash basis other than the accrual. That was done during May, and we're supposed to submit the annual financial statement by the end of May. I must also highlight, Chairperson, that having said that, the organization at that point in time had serious capacity within the organization where our CFO could not rise up to the challenge, taking into consideration that the CETA that I'm talking about, as I've introduced earlier on, that the two chairpersons are all new. We are a new, management within the organization, including myself, a year old. But the capacity within the finance department was a problem, more especially on the chief financial officer. That was one of the issues, because the organization that I'm talking about had a disclaimer for 2 years. That is 2005 and 6, 6 and 7. We had to make corrections of the two past years to make sure that we align ourselves with the new developments of submissions. That was very complex, and it needed a lot of time. If you look at May, when the Treasury regulation came into being. So that was one of the reasons. We must highlight here also that as a CETA, as I've indicated, that we're coming from a situation whereby things were not okay. When an organization got a disclaimer for 2 years. So the work and the volume of work that ought to be done within a short space of time to submit the annual financial statement was bigger than what it was expected from the finance department, more especially from our CFO. The second reason as to why did we submit it. After realizing that we can't submit and correct all the issues that were raised in the past 2 years, the organization went out and get a consultant to ensure that we submit our financial statement on time, which it did okay. We have engaged that consultant to make sure that they understand the mandate of the organization, which they have agreed to ensure that we move according to the needs and the requirements of the National Treasury Regulation to construct our finances from a cash basis. Everything was done. We kept being informed, having meeting with the consultant to ensure that we are on par and we understand everything that they were doing. We even requested the consultant to go and brief the council, which is the board, as to whether our submission is relevant. We did so. We were promised at the council or board that whatever submission is going to be done is in line. There are no problems. The council really indeed asked a lot of questions. And there was promises from that organization that we are, in fact, going to submit a good document, which was done on the 31st of May. It was submitted on time. But during the audit process, it was discovered by the AG that whatever submission it has been done in various aspects of the financial statement, there are challenges. And they highlighted to us those challenges, as highlighted on the document the chairperson submitted to the Labour Portfolio Committee. The organization was called. We engaged them. We indicated the seriousness out of the audit process. After that, it was indicated by AG that going forward with the set of finances that has been submitted will take the organization to a bad situation where we'll get a disclaimer again. Hence, it was a very difficult decision to take, but we had to call the board and inform the board accordingly about the challenges that we are coming across with. The board took a decision to ensure that we withdraw that financial statement, to ensure that we submit and correct where it's supposed to be corrected, as advised by AG. And indeed, Chairperson, at that time, the consultant that I was talking about, we called them, we told them the situation, and we had to terminate the relationship between them. Hence, we had to engage Deloitte and Touche to ensure that they assist us because time was against ourselves. The letter to withdraw the financials was submitted to AG. It was also submitted to the Department of Labor, informing them about the challenge the organization was confronted with. Hence, that everything occurred. We resubmitted the financials during October, for AG to commence their audit process. Indeed, they do so. They did so. We submitted all the audit process was undertaken until January 2009. During those periods, we kept informed the Department of Labor of our processes, our challenges. And after that, during March, is when we had our financial being submitted to the Revenue Department. So those were the reasons, Chairperson, that led us not to submit our financial statement on time. As an organization, yes, we have learned the lesson out of all these challenges that we have come across with. Going forward, Chairperson, as an organization, we have turned that organization now by ensuring that we enter into a working relationship with Deloitte. Deloitte has been functioning, operating with close to 12 sitters. We have got an agreement with them. Up to 2010. Why 2010? Taking into consideration the challenges that we had over the past 2 years, I think they will assist us a lot to ensure that we correct those areas. After that, Chairperson, the organization will have to review that decision to ensure that we employ a CFO and a finance manager who are capable to deal with financials within the CETA environment. And because those are some of the key issues and challenges that we are facing with as CETAs when it comes to finances. So we will review that. It's not a lifelong relationship with the organization. We know as to when can we terminate it. We have identified where we are not doing well. For example, this year we have complied with the PFNA. We've submitted our annual financial statement on time. The audit has been conducted. We are dealing with minor issues now. We've been in touch with the AG to ensure that the previous mistake does not take place. We were assured that at least this year, there's a light, they know what to audit, and they are busy as we speak now. Chairperson, we'll be having a meeting with them. We had a meeting with them on Monday. We are going to have a meeting on Friday also just to deal with the current audit, which they are also hip about that. We are also happy, Chairperson. As an organization, we also said we did not perform well in terms of ensuring that the skills development mandate, which is to ensure that training does take place in the industry. We are financially viable now. We can fund various programs which our stakeholders had a problem with. We have improved also our communication, Chairperson, with all stakeholders, including those who were at one stage, Chairperson, said CETA must be taken under administration. We have improved our relationship with them. Hence, the Chairperson who is in here is one of those stakeholders at that point in time wanted the CETA to be taken under administration. So the consolidation of relationship with our stakeholders has improved very dramatically for now. And we have got a new board that is in place, ensuring that things are done correctly and properly. We're not saying it's 100%, but we are improving day by day to ensure that the organization that we're talking about becomes an organization that is performing and delivering on its mandate. From finance point of view, I want to rest assured that we are on par, we are fine financially. With that, Chairperson, it is our intention also to say, as an organization, all the issues that have been identified and isolated, we have put a clear plan as to how best can we address this. We went to the National Skills Authority, we were called there, we presented our plan as to how do we address the challenges that the organization confronted with. And that was done properly. Thank you, Chair, unless the Chair.
Please. Can I just summarize what you've said quickly, because it's important that we understand it. It sounds to me like the following. Your internal audit committee approved that first version of the audit. The board approved the first version of the audit. You submitted to the Auditor General. Then your consultant told you there were problems with that audit, which the Auditor General then confirmed. Yes, there are problems with the audit. Then you withdrew it from the Auditor General. And then you fired your consultant. And then you appointed a new consultant. And the new consultant then redid all the financials, found the paperwork and the supporting documents which might not have been there, redid it from an accrual basis to a cash basis. Then you resubmitted to the Auditor General, and the Auditor General is now auditing that final version of your financials. Am I right? Is that what happened?
No. Sorry, I think before you answer, why don't we allow Honorable Ollis, because it's a question, it's a clarity, but it will need them to respond. Let's just allow the time for questioning and clarity. Then they must respond. I will not expect. You see, this meeting is, as I've said earlier on, it's not the meeting that we expected. We expected the board to account. Now that the board is not here, there are one or two people of the board who are here. They are going to take full responsibility in accounting. We won't be, all these questions are not going to be sent or answered by the CEO. Chairperson of the board who is here and the Deputy Chairperson of the Board will be also answering the questions. In fact, a larger part of these responses must come from them. I think the first question, any other questions or clarities, Mr. Hollis just asked for clarity. Any more clarities or questions? Okay, let's start, let's deal with the clarities.
Chairperson, I thought the the CEO made a presentation and then he was inviting any of his delegation, if there's something that he missed, they want to add on. I think if that my understanding is correct, once they have noted the clarity which has been raised, if there is a part of the presentation that has not yet surfaced, can they do that? And then once they do that, then we come with points of clarity in the whole presentation.
Okay. Honorable Ndlovu?
In doing so, Chairperson, in answering what my brother has asked, will they be quite clear on this matter of clarity? Because we are in two positions. I didn't really follow it properly when the board says this and then something happens. If they, while they are completing their presentation, if they can clarify that the thing so that we are clear, so that when we pose questions, we don't go back to the clarity questions. Now we pose questions, we need to go forward there, Chairperson. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Nyakembe, I didn't want to ask for additions, because I think that these people who are here, the board members and the members of the department are here, if they seen that there's a gap in what the CEO was presenting, they have a right to say we want to add or want to clarify. So if they are not saying, for me, it means that they're satisfied. But when the questioning time comes, they're not going to be sitting at the back seat. They are going to be the ones who are leading the responses. Now, can you start with that question of Honorable Ollis? Clarity, that clarity.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. What I want to say or clarify is that the organization or consultant was employed by then to ensure that we submit the financial statement on time, which is 31st of May. That occurred. During the audit from May, June, July, is where we discovered the challenges through the AG processes when they were busy auditing. That led us to withdraw the financials. We wrote a letter to AG to formally withdraw that annual financial statement. We wrote a letter to Department of Labor informing them of the intention of the organization. Thereafter, we terminated the contract with the service provider. We employed Deloitte, who came in and fixed everything according to our mandate. We resubmitted for re-auditing, which occurred. That led us to submit our annual financial statement during March.
I think maybe you'll clarify it more.
Just to bring further clarity, your question was, the same consultant who prepared who assisted us in preparing the financials, when after they were submitted to the AG, your question was it the same consultant who determined the incorrections? No, it wasn't. It was the AG who assisted us in determining the issues, and upon receiving the report from the AG, we felt the need as the board to withdraw the financials because they were in inverted commas, a total mess. Your second question was, now, those previous financials that we're referring to having now been resubmitted in the correct fashion, are those the ones now being considered by the AG? No, those are long gone. They've been dealt with. When the CEO referred to financials now being considered by the AG, we're talking about our current year-end 09 financials being considered, not the ones in question that led to the report being submitted late to Parliament.
Let's raise our hands and ask questions. Honorable Nyakem, we are in the same predicament that you are in. Don't worry, you're not alone. So we'll all engage and get clarity as a collective. Honorable Nyakemba.
Thank you very much. I think they still have to further respond to the earlier point of clarity that was raised. But mine is different from that. I think they have noted the first one. I'm hearing the CEO saying, one, he is new as the CEO. He has been there for approximately 12 months now. And the chairperson and the deputy chairperson of the board, they came in March. I'm not clear whether in March this year or in March 2008. Whether March this year or March 2008, the question is, their election, because my understanding is that the chairperson is being elected, their election came as a result of the dissolution of the previous board. There's been a new board altogether. That's why then today we are sitting with a chairperson and deputy chairperson who are new. Can I get clarity on that?
Do you want to add on this clarity?
Chairperson, the chairperson of the board confused the issue. I was just about to understand what was going on, and then he confused the issue with my first question, and it's a follow-up on the first question.
Yes, go ahead.
Chairperson of the board, you said something which confused me. The late submitted, actually, let me take a step back. The financials that were withdrawn, you seem to indicate now that those are not the ones that are currently being considered by the Auditor General. So ones that were withdrawn, have they been rectified or resubmitted yet? And now you've got another year's worth on top of that. So now there are two lots before the Auditor General currently.
Can I respond to that, Chip?
Let's rather put dates to it. We're referring to financial year-end March 08. Okay, my apologies, March 08. Those are the financials that were, firstly, they were submitted on time by the 31st of May 08. And after having being submitted, we discovered issues through the Auditor General. The March 08 financials were withdrawn. They were subsequently dealt with, they were fixed up, and they were resubmitted in October 08. So they've been dealt with, they've been audited, and they now sit in our report. The ones that are now with the AG is March 09, and those are the ones that the CEO referred to as being correct, a set of financials for the first time that we are proud of, that is following due process, and for certain those will not be withdrawn. Thank you.
Yes, I think for us not to confuse issues, let's deal with the finances of end of March 2008, because that's where the problem is. So whenever you talk, just refer to, because that's what you are here for. Otherwise, if you bring other finances or other good things that you're going to confuse, so I want to stick to this one. I'm not sure, Honorable Ollis, you'll be clear, though. The more we talk, we're confusing. I think you understand now. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure they'll answer to the question.
Yes. Deputy Chair Frank Frick.
Oh, thank you. Sorry.
Honorable Chair, in terms of confirming the date of our election and appointment as Chair and Deputy is March 2009. We were elected in March 2009. And just to add further to what the CEO has said is, while we are new, we take full responsibility for the mess that the CETA is currently in. And we also want to assure the committee here today that we are encouraged by the fact that we are engaging with the AG in terms of the way forward, in assuring this committee that we will never submit a report late, and that the compliance issues that have been identified in the previous years are being addressed. But to reiterate, as Chair and Deputy Chair, we take full responsibility for the mess that the CETA is in. Thank you.
Secured. Okay. Questions?
Just a thank you, sir. Just a follow up on this one. I think I also take this meeting as part of education on my part to understand how CETAs operate and understanding the confidence that the board has in saying they take full responsibility of what has happened. And my understanding is that they're saying that knowing that they are accounting authority of the state. Now, their election in March 2009, my understanding is that the term of the board of CETAs is 20 days, which means it's next year. For the board of the Construction Education and Training Authority to be elected in March this year, was it influenced by the submission and withdrawal of the 2007-2008 annual financial statement? Can I be clarified on that? Or they have a different setup from other CETAs?
Let the members of the board answer that.
Honourable Chair, the CETA is as a constitution, and in terms of the constitution, the term is 3 years, and the previous board's term expired in March 2009. We had new elections, we elected a new board then. So the term, in terms of the constitution, it is that the board would be in office for 3 years, and that term expired.
In other words, Chairperson, the problem that was created by the previous board, the new board is taking into account that problem, firstly. And secondly, are they saying what has happened in the AG and the report of 2007-8? It's their responsibility. It's what they are saying. I just want to get clear on that, because if they say that they are being elected in every 3 years, and then they were elected March this year, and but we are talking about 2008 financial problems, are they saying they are taking the responsibility of what has happened in 2008?
Honorable Tikeledi.
Yeah, Chairperson, thanks for being upfront by explaining or maybe announcing that we're in a predicament. So our questions might not have head nor tail, because we're trying to get clarity and make sense out of what you think it is. I was also going to ask a question based on some correspondence dated the 2nd October 2008. It goes back to what Honourable Member Nzovu is asking, if the responsibility that we're taking is from that date. And maybe just to pose a small question before continue after the Chairperson has explained when you're taking over. What is the process of takeover when the new team gets in the office? Because it is the same organization, it's not a new organization. What is the procedure in terms of handing over?
No, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, and please, the board, I'm open for correction. My understanding then would be the board sitting in front of us here today, it's a new board. And based on the fact that they're new, obviously the old board, we basically have summoned the wrong people, with my understanding, so to speak, because the new board is no more in operation. By implication then, the board sitting in front of us here today, having to answer questions based on 2008, which they were actually not responsible for, and it goes without saying, I'm referring to the board, and I'm not trying to act here as a spokesperson on behalf of this board, not at all. My only understanding then would be, if they had to answer questions based on things that have transpired in their absence, I'm asking myself the question now, you know, in terms of a lot of these, because there's a lot of questions that's going to arise out of what has transpired. One is of the view, you know, the obviously you will answer, and it is expected from the board to answer these things, you know, as honestly and as openly as it is. And it makes it much more easier, because they were the people that are responsible for the 2008 report, because they were only appointed in 2009. My question then would be, wouldn't it have been then appropriate for us to have asked the previous board members, or even to come and explain themselves based on, you know, what are we going to discuss here today? I'm just asking for purposes of clarity, Chairperson, and please guide me on that.
I will come to that to that question of Honorable Law. Honorable Velma?
No, thanks, thanks, Chair. You see, I'm extremely worried. We can't have people coming here to say we accept that things were wrong. Now we are going to take over, and we are going to make sure that things are okay. People in that way may be saying, we are good, we have come here. Take us in that kind of light. And that in itself shows the incapacity. And I think that needs to be a clear point. Other people made this mistake. We are good people. We have taken over. We are going to correct the situation. I don't think those of us who are here must basically agree with that kind of that thing. That needs to be clear up front there. What the members, the other side, need to understand, and I hope they know that, is that the CTAs are extremely important. Their work is there to educate the people. Those workers who are there, most of them are very poor, most of them have lost their jobs, most of them are still going to lose their jobs. People need to understand that. And if they come here and say we have not performed over this period, but we are responsible now, we are there, we're taking off our gloves to make sure that there is performance, I think that is extremely baseless. It's wrong. We need to take it from there. But secondly, is what you were saying, medical aid, or honorable, that's what we say here. That there is a particular line in respect of management. If one section of management moves out, there is another section of management. And that section is here, we can see. So that's a question that we need to ask. To say, who is actually responsible? Yes, you say the CFO did not do his or her work. But then there is management here. They need to explain to us, instead of simply saying, we were elected a few months ago, and now we are going to work. Yes, but there is a particular line of management that is there on a full-time basis. What is it that they've done? Over all this period, more than three financial years, what is it that they've done? For two financial years, for example, they say, here is a person, the CFO, who has not performed. What did they do? They need to explain that to us, because each time we employ a person into a particular position, we do so on the basis that there is capacity on the particular person. And again, what we need to raise is that, albeit this management may say, we have not been able to handle this situation, which one would say should be questioned. We have not been able to handle this particular instance where the CFO has not been able to deliver, etc., etc. It means they themselves do not have the capacity. Must we then keep in office the people who don't have the capacity? Where's the head of the management in this instance? But secondly, there is a particular line function. If the Department of Labor itself did not look into this thing, which is supposed to educate the working people who are extremely poor, who are actually losing their jobs on a daily basis, and are actually there. And we know millions and millions of people who are supposed to be gaining from this particular sector are not doing so. The Department of Labor, where is it? Because this institution, this CETA, just like other CETAs, has been in the Department of Labor through and through. So it is not basically, in my own understanding, a new management. The management has been there. And, Chair, you've got to agree with me that we cannot have here people who are saying, hey, we're going to work now. Don't come here and please us. You've got to rise and say there are millions of people who are there who cannot have a piece of bread on the table. And what about you as the management that has been there so and so? Those are the issues that need to be looked into and get responded to in a very positive way. And you, ourselves here, our representatives of the people, should be, and I believe are united in saying that we can't allow this kind of thing really to permeate our country. We can't. It's wrong. There has been management. Can the management that has been there rise and say, we have failed, so that the people of our country know that this management has failed through and through for more than 2 financial years. And they're here.
Honorable Velma?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, in front of me, I do have documents and I do have letters and the correspondence, and I do not have any report. If they said that they gave the revised report to the department, so the revised report must be was that submitted to the previous portfolio committee, and they were the outgoing portfolio committee in 2009, March 2009. If it was, have not been submitted to the previous portfolio committee, that should have been submitted to us to make sure what was revised in that report. And then also what I need to know, what were the problems that were there that they recall the financial statements and made some amendments to those financial statements? What were the problems? We are the new committee. We need to know whatever problems what they encountered to make sure that they avoid those problems. So I want to see the revised report as well. Thank you.
Comrade Olin, thank you. Chairperson, I'm finished with my questions of clarity because I think we have a working rough idea of what's going on here. But I think that this committee is a committee of oversight, not just a committee that considers reports. But we actually have a role on behalf of the public and on behalf of voters to actually deal with issues of oversight. Now, I think Honourable Madisha over here is partly right. I think on the one hand, we've got a new board that started in March this year. So it's very difficult now to blame this board for the financials that went before. But Honourable Madisha is quite right when it comes to the management. We've got a CEO in place. And I must say, sir, I'm not very happy. And speaking on behalf of the public, I'm not very happy. Let me tell you what I'm not very happy about. I'm not very happy about the fact that we have a CFO provided by Deloitte. We have a financial manager provided by Deloitte. We have to ask the question, why has this organization not appointed its own CFO financial manager, not somebody who's suddenly coming just to help out from Deloitte, which is the impression I get. I get the impression they seconded from Deloitte to fix the mess. Well, the CEO hasn't just been here since March 09. The CEO has been here since a year before that. Why in a whole year have we not appointed a CFO and a financial manager to this CETA on a permanent basis? Where are these people? These are key staff members that should have been appointed. If you didn't have them, why is the post not advertised? Why have we not appointed these staff? Why are they not operating? Why have we got to rely on consultants from Deloitte to fill these positions on a temporary basis, if that is what is the case? Because I think that's what it appears to be the case. Deloitte should mainly be assisting with the paperwork. Deloitte should not be fulfilling line functions. Then I have a second question. So my first question is, why on earth do we not have a permanent CFO and a financial manager from appointed to the CETA on a permanent basis that are competent,
that have the skills and that are working. My second question is an impression that I got from, I don't know whether it was the deputy chair or whether it was Jonathan Abiyapon, I don't know your surname, I've been trying to write notes here. Marks. Okay, I beg your pardon, Mr. Marks. Somebody on that side of the table seemed to indicate that there were also other problems. So it's not just that the financials are a problem. It sounds as though there are other structural problems in the CETA. Are there other key leadership or staffing positions that are vacant? How many? Where are they? Is this thing crumbling because there are staff vacancies in key positions all over, or is it just these two that we know about? What other, there are hints here, and I don't want to deal with hints. There are clearly other problems in the CETA. Going back to what my colleague, Mr. Madisha, said just now, this CETA is there to deliver a certain service on behalf of the public. What are the other problems in the CETA? It sounds to me like it's more than just financials and accounting. It sounds to me that there are other problems. Are people being trained? Are people being deployed? How many? Are the figures good, etc.? Are there key staff vacancies? Where are the other problems in this department? Because clearly it's not just the paperwork that isn't in order. Thank you.
Questions from the front.
Thanks, Chairperson. I want to get clarity here because in one of the correspondences that is from CETA that speak on the late submission of the report, the annual report, clearly says that the CFO, who was Mr. Kosi, is currently assisting Deloitte with relevant financial information to conclude the financial statement, and then in due process his contract will be terminated. I don't know, with reference to this letter, if already his contract has been terminated or what. I'll get a response from the CETA. And then I want to find out, because here in terms of the Act, it's the board together with the CEO are the accounting officers. And here we are faced with a situation where the CFO together with the firm that was contracted by CETA submitted reports to the Auditor General, and then without, in fact, the knowledge or without the accounting officers, which is the board and the CEO, looking into this report, because clearly if only they find out in 3 months' time after the reports were submitted, it means that there was some negligence of duties in whatever has happened here, because clearly, as accounting officers of the CETA, no reports should actually go outside without the board actually owning and taking ownership of the financial statements, and therefore find out in 3 months' time when another firm was contracted to look into the affairs. So, because we are dealing with people that a new board, which, according to my knowledge, said that they are taking full ownership and full responsibility of the affairs of the CETA. Can they give us any explanation to say who has delegated what in terms of accounting powers here? Because clearly, in terms of the Act, it says the board, together with the CEO, are the accounting authorities in the CETA.
Okay. Thank you, members. Just a clarity, the board is new. Does it mean that all these members of the board are new, or there are some of the board members that are continuing? Is everybody new? Is the chairperson new?
No.
Is the deputy chairperson new?
No.
Thank you. Another particular, there are so many questions. Let them answer these questions.
Thank you, President. The question that the members posed are the ones I was going to ask. That's why I wanted to know what is the procedure when people are making the handover. But I'll come after the response.
Members, it is fine. You understand that the board is new, but the board members are taking full responsibility. I'm sure they're going to answer the question of taking over. Now,
Can I ask something before they...
Okay, can I finish?
Okay.
Okay, yeah. You see, what I don't get here, it's because the impression that we are giving to these new members is that you know nothing. You are coming here for the first time. Without saying, it's a new board. Yes, it's a new board. But some of us have been part of this board. And as a result, that is why we know certain things or are owning certain things, because we are a part of the board. Not giving impression that you don't know, you are just taking responsibility of something that you've never seen. You know, that's the impression that you are giving to the members. So I think we understand that it is a new board, but at least we understand also why you are taking full responsibility. You must take full responsibility of what happened. So what I wanted to understand, when it's a new board, but when there was a company or another consultant that was hired to draft the first finances or financials that were withdrawn, you have Altibex, the company by the name of Altibex, that you appointed. Now, financial statement was drawn, did you look at it, now the CEO included and the board members, did you look at that statement and okayed it? Or it is only when the AG alerted you, or when you received that management statement, that you realized that there are problems? At which stage did you realize that there is a problem in that financial department, including the the CFO that has been fired? Did you delegate your authority to the CFO to do everything on your behalf? What happened? Where were you? That's what I want to know, because we can't ask him, he's out, but you are here. Just tell us that process. Because immediately after this, you identified that there are problems, or the AG identified that there are problems, your first reaction was to remove this person who is incompetent. Where were you? How did this thing land up to the AG? Because there are standards of, you know, of accounting. We also understand all these changes that you are referring to, that we had to report using the accrual basis and now cash basis. And I don't think that was only referred to this sitter. It was not a special arrangement for the sitter. And other people were able to meet the required time or to comply with the PFMA. So for me, just tell me the process of this report to go to the AG. And where were you? What happened? What is that you did not see? Why is the CFO? The CFO is not the accounting officer.
You are the CEO is here. Honorable Matisa is right. The whole management is here. We should take the blame at the end of the day. Is it your subordinate? Who? Please, that process.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Let me answer some of the questions. The chairperson will answer some, and the deputy chair, and just back there. Chairperson, yes, we are saying it's a new board in terms of the process of having the board in place after 3 years. That is what we are saying is a new board, but the people who are here, the chairperson and deputy, have been members of the board for some time. So hence we said they are new because they are new in the position which they are occupying today. That is what we are referring to. Coming to the ownership of 2007-2008. Yes, Chair, we inherited all those problems. And in the process of inheriting those problems, we have to deal with them. We can't shelve them somewhere. We have to deal with them. As much as I've said, Chairperson, earlier on that I'm a year old within the organization, but the challenges of 2005 and six and seven. I had to deal with them because those are inherent challenges of the organization. And going forward, I have to work on that, correct that going forward. So hence I am saying we inherited two disclaimers. Coming to the honorable member who has asked to say management is in here. I think what I've said now is correctly highlighting that we are here, but we cannot, for example, now, the issues which must be addressed of 2004, 2005, 2000, we have to deal with that. I have to deal with that. Hence, I'm attending to that. So, we are not saying we are a panacea, we are going to do everything. We will try our level best, Honorable Chairperson, to address those things. As we are saying, we are here. There's no other group of people that are going to be here other than ourselves and express our endeavors and our desire to ensure that things are done properly. That is what we are saying. In terms of ensuring that the ordinary citizen of South Africa benefit out of CETA. As we speak here, CETA at one stage was technically insolvent, did not have money. Hence, I've said earlier on that we are financially sounding. We have committed to date learners in the system, 172 million that we have committed. We have, for this financial year, committed 163 million to ensure that training does take. And we want to increase that number to ensure that South African citizens benefit out of the construction-related programs. We do have a passionate heart to ensure that South Africans benefit out of the CETA programs. So this is the commitment that we have done, and we continue to ensure that this commitment and the mandate according to the skills development is actually achieved. This is what we are doing. There was a question of a revised report we have submitted, Honorable Chairperson, 550 copies to Parliament. If the new members did not get that, I think we made available, but we did submit 550 copies. The line functions. This
this is the copy as highlighted by the chairperson.
We don't have it, Honorable Lewis.
I was just clarifying as to what we did. In terms of the line function, chairperson, I have indicated, yes, there were challenges of senior managers resigning from the organization because you are operating in an environment where people are specialists. They move at any time. And that is based on the economy of scale. We receive 10% from our revenue to deal with administration of the organization. If our 10% is lower than another sitter might say a skills development manager, we're going to pay 500,000, whereas you are paying 300,000. Obviously, that person will resign. So those were challenges that when I joined this organization, came across with where senior managers were resigning, which affects the delivery. But as we speak today, all vacancies have been closed. We have made sure that our salary is actually benchmarked with other organizations because that was one of the key issues. And we did that. Every position within the organization is occupied. We've got a senior manager, capable managers. In terms of training, yes, we've got a bursary or a loan to our staff members. Those who are actually encouraged to undertake studies will provide that bursary or loan to ensure that the capacity building is actually taken by individuals. We encourage them every now and then, every year, to ensure that they enroll. They don't have to pay that money back because they pay if they failed, but if they didn't, they benefit out of the program. So in terms of capacity, we are doing that. Why are we not employing the CFO and the CFO capable ones? Looking at the amount of work and challenges that we had coming from 2005, 2006, on the disclaimer itself, and going to 2007 and 2008, it was at that time very important for us. Looking at the submission dates that we're supposed to, there was no time to advertise to get the CFO, and that was the challenge. We had to go out, get a company that can assist us to submit. On my presentation, I said the working relationship with Deloitte is not a lifelong relationship. After 2010, chairperson, we'll make sure that we advertise and we get competent individuals who will be manning those positions. We don't want to run our organization with consultants. The issue, chairperson, of accounting officer being terminated, it was discovered, chairperson. I got him there. How he was employed, I don't know. But the issue of capacity, that is one of the issues which I discovered. That no, with this individual, we are not going anywhere. Hence, I had to make a proposal to the accounting authority to ensure that we terminate his service. Chairperson, it was just like that. If we went the route of advertising at that point in time, we were not going to make it even submitting the annual financial statement in order to get a person. But I'm saying, Chairperson, today that after this, the accounting authority will take a decision to employ a CFO and CFO. So we're not saying we are going to be in this relationship with Deloitte forever. We're not saying that. I understand the unhappiness behind that. But as an organization, too, I'm not happy. But we had to do to save the organization at that point in time. The Honorable Chairperson asked a number of questions. I think, Chairperson, within the organization, we've got structures, your finance committee. The presentation was done at the finance committee. We've got stakeholders who forms part of the finance committee. We've got the presentation. It went through the executive committee of the organization where the presentation was done. And finally, before being submitted to AG, presented to the council to ensure that and it was presented, Chairperson, must be honest, with the CFO, yes, we do have meetings with him and the consultant to ensure that everything is fine. That was submitted, only to find that the prior errors of disclaimers with regard to 2005 and 6, where we have to reverse other issues, do it on a cash basis, it was not properly done. So hence, the withdrawal, Chairperson, which the board was engaged into the whole process. We have done our level best to ensure that the organizational structure is aware of every submission before, because you can't submit a financial statement to AG before it is being presented to the council. That is how we have actually dealt with the finances of the organization at that point in time. Where I did not cover Chairperson, the members will fill in.
Whoever will be answering from the side of the board, I think you must expand on what the CFO is saying. CEO is saying. You approved the finances. It was not the CFO working aside and sent the report to the AG. Now, what the CEO is saying is that there were other shortcomings that were traced back from 2004, past years when he was not there. And I don't think in the reports, I'm sure the board members, I'm not sure if there is something like that, you must bring it in front of the committee. Where the CFO who has taken the responsibility or the responsibility of the whole management has been on his shoulders. Was there a stage where this CFO, if it is the past years, that he took a responsibility on his own without consulting with the management? You see, so my worry is when there are problems, people who are up there, it's all fine. Then those who are down must face the music. Yet you have your accounting authorities and you are saying you are working as a collective. Everything is presented to the management. Now, who is responsible? Whose responsibility is it? I want to know, you must find out one, you know, reason, a convincing reason for me that an individual person must take a responsibility. Even if it was the CEO, the CEO is the accounting manager of the management. But then whatever the CEO does, the board is there. So I will still ask the question, where were you as the members of the board? Unless you are saying in that organization there is chaos, or you are saying you have entrusted, I did ask that question, did you give him responsibility? Then it's clear from what you're saying that you are part, you are a collective. Everything came through you. Even in the past years, I believe that everything came to the management. But there are members of the management that would believe that we were there with this CFO who was still enjoying their privileges and everything was still sitting there. Why is it one person who must take responsibility when there are problems in the organization? And I want to know when this Ultimax company was appointed, why is the CEO there? You CEO, because you are new. Were you part of appointing this Ultimax? The board. Because if you are telling us now that Deloitte and Touch is the best, to report to us in the letters, correspondence that is with us, that Ultimate was also the best team because it has also some members from the, you know, people who worked in the AG's office. So you were confident that they were going to come up with the best product. But what happened? So you must just really, we don't want to hear that all will be fine. What is that all will be fine? Because without you saying this, that's where the problem was. If the problem is reduced to one person in the organization and everybody else is fine and 100%, you know, I don't think that we're going to, I think at the end we're going to still face the same problem. What criteria are you using? Why Deloitte and Touche is the best in terms, Ultimate was the best?
And can I just add on to what you're saying, Chair?
Sorry, and that question of Honorable Ellis. No, not Ollis. Ollis. Why consultants after consultants? You can say 2010. 2010 is far in terms of what these people are being paid than you are going to be paying a CFO of your own. It's far. Very far. So, please just clarify. You can make a follow-up, Honorable Matisha.
No, it's not a follow-up. Just wanted to add.
To add?
Right. You cannot re-regular this thing.
After lunch, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, we are speaking here of... what was this thing? Deloitte and Touche, okay. But in all this, we're not talking about the responsibilities of the Labor Department. What is it that they've been doing after having realized that there was a problem? So that we don't only talk about, this committee. I'm then saying, and I've said this, which has not been responded to, there has been a line, like now there's a line of reportage, responsibility, and so on and so on. What has been the feedback? I mean, this was reported, and the department knows about this. What is it that they've done? Thanks, Chair. Just to add on to what you're saying.
I know that we attempted to ask a number of questions, and we have very little time. But please, Honorable Kelly.
It was very difficult for me to ask questions. Now I have to repeat other people's questions because I've been waiting for the explanation of what is the procedure when the new the new team comes into office. Because what is normally the practice is that we should be having the old team presenting the new team to us and answering, you know, the questions that we are asking now and not shifting the past. And it has already been asked by Member Madisha and myself that what was done, if there's any performance evaluation, that after identifying some flaws as the CFO, what did you do as the CEO to improve the situation? And in South Africa, you know, we have some procedures when one has to, when a contract has been terminated or one has to be fired from work.
So, can you please switch off your phone? We don't want to say when people are coming to the meetings, must leave the phones outside. Please switch it off. Don't put it on silent. Just switch it off completely. Thank you.
Maybe the question would be, why don't we have the old team presenting the new team to us? Because they're still there, and the CFO especially, the one who's perceived to be the main cause of the problem. We talk of some processes when the terminate is contracted, as the contract is terminated. You know, I'm just putting with other questions. I'm now becoming emotional. I'm not sure if it's a deliberate or maybe the mistake that I'm asking one question three times and there's no response to it. Of what is the procedure when you do the the handover, then those people are still there. We are sitting them to be here to say we are the people who have committed these errors and this is how we respond to them. Then you say you take full responsibility. But not, you know, this shortcut of saying, yes, there are problems and we take full responsibility. When you talk of unfair labor practice or unfair dismissal, that the third paragraph from the letter that I've responded, referred to earlier on, of the 2nd October 2008, the third paragraph says the board failed to get a decision to terminate the service of the chief financial officer. But you don't hear of any procedure that was in place, you know, to rectify the situation. But it was also preempted that it is done. But there's no, you know, no information to say this was the term of contract and what was flawed. When you send an agreement with a person, we have what you call term of contract or terms of contract. So I'm trying to make sense of what I'm saying because it's now many and most, you know. And also there's information that the Department of Labor has seconded some CAs. We don't have information again to say how did they perform before we think of Juliet and Tush. And again to say many managers or a number of managers have resigned. Usually senior managers, when you sign a contract, it could be 3 or 5 years. So we take it as a breach of contract. And to say they were not happy about salaries, when you advertise, when you recruit, already there is a scale to say annually you get this much. So it is upon myself to say I'm taking this risk to be underpaid, although my, you know, competency is at this level. Not unless there was some, you know, poor performance, but under normal circumstances, if a person terminates a contract before the actual date, there's something that the law is saying. There's a piece of legislation that is dealing with that. And coming back to the dismissal again or termination of contract of the CFO, also the negligence that we were talking about here, also there's a piece of legislation that says something about the manager who has been negligent. I mean, for us to have the report going to the Auditor General and only after hearing some flaws from the AD's office, it means you write a report, any other manager can write a report and submit it without this collective, you know, interrogation of the report. But you cannot agree to this sort of thing. People were resigning because of low salaries, because when you apply, there is a salary scale. And during the process of interview also, you are given an opportunity to negotiate, to say, this is what I can offer, and I'm not sure about the salary. But once you sign the contract, it means you agree to everything that is there when the address was put in the paper.
I'm sure these questions will be answered. I'm going to take one last question from the members. I'm worried about the time and the number of questions. Some of the questions that you are asking, Honorable Dionis, have not been answered. I'm sure they're in the process of answering because the CEO answered some, but others will be answered. You didn't ask any question, did you? Udukel. Makubela.
Thank you. The CEO said that they made mention that they inherited many problems and or many challenges from the previous administration. And I see a problem of further inheriting problems. When we talk about the board that was the accounting authority, that failed to carry out its duty for many years. Some of the, I mean, both the chairperson and the current deputy chairpersons were in fact part of the board dating from 2006. Am I correct? Because I see on the board meeting, minutes of meetings that Mr. Fredericks have been there, and the chairperson is Mr. Stradom, has been there from 2006. And surely the many challenges that were in that institution they were part of the, they were part of the collective. I mean, as not being a chairperson of the board or deputy chairperson of the board does not mean that you are not part of the executive authority. But it means that we are further saying that there was a shift of, now there's a shift of responsibility to say that the then failed board will now be beefed up by those that have failed, but they are now accelerating to higher positions, which means that here we are sitting with, I would say, that people who are actually trying to play around our minds to say those that have, there's a new board now, we must look at it in a sense of having new people, but it's the very same burden or very same challenges that were part of the CETA dating from 2006. And I believe that in whatever, as the board, you are the accounting authority. And we are saying that, in fact, the board, I would say that, delegated its authority to the CFO in terms of the reporting of financial reports, together with the annual reports of the CETA. So we, in essence, we are saying that here, or what you are telling us that is that although you have failed to carry out your mandate and your responsibility in terms of the act, now you are coming in as new members who will do better. I think you have to give us a sense of the situation there from the board that you are serving in, that was that its term of office expired in March, and then you come in as new people wearing new clothes, yet you are the very same old people who have been there all the years, dating from 2006.
From the members.
Thank you very much. I think the what we are confronted with in this meeting is something that reflects in a number of legislations, not one. The Constitution of the Republic, Chapter 13, Section 213 to Section 219 deals with general financial matters, and it also says that there are legislations that need to be put in place to tighten the process and practices, whether with certain spheres of government or with public entities in terms of handling finances. As a result, a Public Finance Management Act of 1999 came to place. The admission that you made earlier, even in the written communications with the Department of Labor, and the last one of the 1st July 2009 to the chairperson of the Board Portfolio Committee, is that you are responsible. You have flawed the Public Finance Management Act. That's what it says. In terms of the Skills Development Act, Section 10, which deals with the functions of the CETA, once your report, as you have painted to us, the one of 2007 to 2008, including the previous one, that means the CETA has not been fulfilling its fiduciary duties as mandated by the Skills Development Act. I mean, my colleagues here have made reference of shifting the blame to the CFO, and correctly so.
your explanation that you've got your finance committees, you've got your executive, which I think you need to explain as to when you talk about the executive committee, what is that to talk about? Because that's the executive committee in terms of the letter that was sent to the chairperson dated the 1st of July. In that letter, you are saying it is the executive committee that appointed. Is this Archimax? Yeah, Archimax. I mean, this executive committee, who constituted this executive committee? I think the last point, chairperson, here is that there are certain documents that we don't have. Your constitution, we don't have. And I think the department, because the acting DG is here, we don't have this report of 2007-2008. But however, the department is in a position of knowing what is it that is happening in this sector in particular. Not only this sector, even other sectors. To an extent where, just to raise two issues, to an extent where there was a time where the National Skills Authority was supposed to take the administration of the city. That's last year, 2008. And the CETA wrote back mitigating that, no, yes, we were not good, but we're going to be good. That was in relation to matters of governance. So the point I'm raising here is that here we're not confronted with an issue of the late submission of the annual financial statement of 2007-2008. We're sitting with a problem that has been there in this sector, where, as Honorable Magisha said earlier, because one of the key functions of a sector, not only you, even other sectors, one is to make sure that people who have been lost employment, there are programs for them to be trained and retrained in order to get employment. I'm not saying that's the only one. I think one of them is that. Secondly, the second one of the responsibility of a state, not you alone, even others, is to make sure that the school leavers, they are put in programs that will make them to access employment. So now, what is very clear, from what you have just presented here, you have been grappling with plus, minus, times, divide. Instead of focusing in the core business of what you are doing. Can you account on that?
Over to you.
Honorable Chair and Honourable Members, quite a few questions to answer. I hope I'm going to get them in the right order. In terms of the board and the alleged incapacity of the board and the taking responsibility and the procedure of takeover, I'm going to try and answer all of that in a few sentences. But just to give you a bit of history. The old board is certainly not just the new board, you know. There are certainly new board members that have been appointed. And in terms of the procedure for takeover, we've got procedures of induction. We've got procedures of capacity building of new board members. And recently we... and as always, we would put together strategic planning sessions, and these three aspects would cause that the new board member, old and new, would come to speed with the happenings of current and past. But I just want to take you a bit back. Yes, our board has been troubled. Our biggest problem, you will know that the CETA board is primarily made up of organized labor and employer stakeholders. There are a few government representatives, but in the main, it's organized labor and employer organizations. And for years, I would almost dare to go right to the inception of the construction CETA. There's been no cohesion in the two stakeholder, main stakeholder bodies. Absolutely no cohesion. There's been no unity. It's been plagued with mistrust. And as a result, these two bodies have been at loggerheads with each other literally from the inception. We've all got our various perceptions and interpretations as to why this has happened. You know, primarily the two organizations emerged from bargaining councils, you know, and things like that. And all that history came forward. And as a result, that board was never in unity. To give an example, at one stage, the CETA authority suspended the one half being the employer organizations from participating because of certain allegations. And so, in our view, at that point, the board became defunct. On the other hand, on a different occasion, the employer organizations suspended their participation because, again, of this lack of ability to deal with matters of issue. Like you said, the main function of the board should be facilitating education and training. And we were doing everything besides that. And so we've had an uphill battle, and those hurdles of mistrust and non-cohesion caused the board to be quite ineffective in most instances. We believe that with the assistance from the Department of Labor, we've gone through a mediation process where a mediator was appointed to listen to both sides, because in board meetings, we couldn't even do that. It ended up being a shouting match. So with the facilitation and with the guidance from the Department of Labor, a mediator was appointed to listen to both sides and to draw up an action plan as to how both sides would come together and deliver what is regarded as a common goal, and that is capacitizing and skilling warm bodies. Both sides wanted the same thing, but we couldn't get to sing from the same song sheet. The long and short of it is that we believe that this new board now has achieved that. Right up until the last moment of the old board, there still wasn't sufficient cohesion. And the new board that was appointed now in March, we believe that we've achieved, and in the 3 months that have ensued since March, if I could give you some indication of what we've put together as our plans and our rollout plans to unpack exactly what we're there for, and that is facilitating skills development, you will see the essence of the new board. The new board also, the old board was also plagued with members that didn't have capacity to sit in those responsibilities. We now have a new board that has more expertise. We've got more expertise is the right word. We've got more able people that are able to contribute to developing procedures, policies to roll out the mandate of CETA. So, in terms of the procedures, besides the induction, the capacity building, and the strategic planning sessions that we have put into place, and we've already got results from that. When the deputy mentioned earlier on,